This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo. Right now we're with Anthony Lucan, who's an instructor involved with the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services and California Specialized Training Institute. And you have your own facility.
Yes, we've been here since the early 1970s. We were originally part of the California military, and then we were taken over by the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services under its various names over the years, but we're currently called the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services. And yes, this is California Specialized Training Institute. Mm-hmm. We're part of the training section of the Governor's Office.
And it's kind of a reincarnation of Homeland Security, too, correct?
Yes. We're a combination of the California Emergency Management Agency and the California Homeland Security Agency. We were merged under now the Governor's Office of Emergency Services.
Primary mission, what are you guys charged with?
Well, we're a multi-response agency to any sort of disasters.
So it could be a natural disaster.
Natural disasters, fires. We train a all-hazard response. We have a hazardous materials section here for training in hazardous material responses, emergency management training done here, and then we have criminal justice training, which I'm part of. But we're all trained and cross-trained in our primary mission, and that is to supply people to respond to emergencies of any type here in the state of California.
Things have evolved and changed dramatically over the last 20, 30 years. Internet and social media and whatnot has greatly and dynamically changed the landscape.
Yes, it has, and it's changed our training. We do a number of different aspects of training now. It changed our emphasis on some of the training we do, dealing with security and involved with those areas, particularly in what I'm responsible for and part of what we do. Now, every year, we have to do mandatory security training and with dealing with computers. The threat of cyber terrorism and people using the computer for criminal purposes.
Speaking of that, you have a whole department or a whole subgroup here that's solely targeted with anti-cyber terrorism training. And last November you put me in one of the courses. Very fascinating because you are teaching responders from across the state of California.
Yes, there's two different sections there. There is the county is located here, and their cybersecurity center is here, supported by the district attorney's office, sheriff's office, law enforcement.
But you guys work hand in hand? It's not.
We have worked with them, mm-hmm. but we also are involved in, as you pointed out, in a lot of our terrorism courses. We're certainly worried about cyber terrorism, cybersecurity, and that was part of the course that you attended last fall.
An interesting aside that I kind of one of the things that got me first involved with you guys was Cal Poly State University and how you harness and bring in these tech kids from the university to do specific things here. Tell us about that.
Well, Cal Poly's been located here. As you know, we're in temporary quarters over here that we share with Cal Poly, or we did share before the quarantine, but we have our own offices that are in remodeling stage right now. But we share this facility with Cal Poly, and they have a number of resources here at Camp San Luis Obispo that we're able to cross-train with and take advantage of.
And there's some real specific, cool assignments that you've given these kids. I remember last fall, you had the Cal Poly Tech kids intentionally try and hack the United States Army.
We didn't order them to do that, but they were involved in, along with the National Guard here, trying to see what they could do. You know, part of the testing, we're tested all the time by our headquarters in Sacramento, our IT people. Make sure that we don't fall for phishing, we don't fall for security breaches. We're constantly being tested internally.
So they're trying to trip you up.
They're trying to train us and educate us into the dangers that are out there, mm-hmm. and to protect the sensitive information that we have on our computers. And the security of those computers and what's on those computers are important to the citizens of the state of California. And the governor's office makes sure that we don't fall for the kind of tricks that are going out there every day, mm-hmm. where people are fooled into responding to
messages. They're getting really good.
Very sophisticated, yeah. And very good, yes.
Today, we're in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's where the attention of most people is focused. What the civilian doesn't think about necessarily is that this is a prime opportunity for evil to rise up.
Yes. Any disaster, going back in history, any disaster, you always had to deal with the looters and the people who tried to steal from people who were displaced, had to abandon their homes, their property. So there's nothing new about this. It has just become more sophisticated, more organized, easily directed because of tweeting and things like that.
But this is a time where you guys have to be hyper-vigilant, even more so.
Very much so, since we do respond to the disasters, fires, floods, earthquakes. There are people staying up all night trying to figure out how to separate you from your money and your property. Mm-hmm. And criminals have always tried to take advantage of citizens in dire straits. And one of our jobs, of course, is to watch out for that and watch out for theft, watch out for, along with our law enforcement partners and other partners throughout the state, watch out for scams aimed at people who are need help and need assistance and therefore are open to evil.
And speaking of evil, part of your awareness and focus on an ongoing basis has to do with domestic terrorism and foreign terrorism. And you have, I can't remember the acronyms, but it's domestic trained and foreign directed terrorists that are right here in Central Coast or Southland.
Yes, I've been here training here over 25 years, and for all the time I've been here, and certainly before then, we always had a domestic terrorism component. They may not have been legally treated as domestic terrorists because we have no domestic terrorist statute per se, but they were involved in murder, bank robberies, thefts, counterfeiting, etc., and we're always prosecuted under that. And we've always had our share of white supremacist groups that we warned against and tried to collect information about and spread that. As you know, our primary mission in the criminal justice section is not only training but education. Not only do we train our audiences, which are firefighters, law enforcement officers, emergency managers, military, our federal and state and local partners, and tribal partners, that we not only train them in responding to these threats, but also provide the education of what these threats are about and the historical framework. And the United States has traditionally had white supremacist groups operating within the country going back to the Ku Klux Klan and other organizations that terrorized people.
So, as you alluded to, your frontline defense is really, in many respects, the first responders. It might be CAL FIRE, it might be a county sheriff, an EMT, whatever, those who are out and about. And eyes and ears.
Yes, they're the front line, the millions of firefighters, law enforcement officers, emergency managers that are out there. They're our first line of defense. They're the eyes and ears. In the military terms, we call that a force multiplication. The more people we have out there looking and that are trained and educated, know what to look for, and provide that information, the safer we're going to be as a country from these domestic and international threats.
Reeling back to home base here on Camp San Luis Obispo today, CSTI and Cal OES, what are your primary missions? What is most important? What is your focal point today in the spring of 2020?
Well, certainly the COVID-19 virus has affected everybody in the state.
It explains the empty office here.
It explains why we're in such a surroundings with very few people and why our temperatures were taken when we arrived at the camp, and explains a lot that is happening in the United States and the world today. And our primary mission, of course, is to stop the spread of that virus and to provide assistance to those that need it. And I think no state was certainly better able to do this than California. We've had a history of responding effectively to disasters of all kinds. Fires, floods, earthquakes were uniquely qualified to respond to these kinds of disasters. And certainly, I think we've been named by the president and others because of our success so far. And we're certainly not letting down our aim at that. I'm primarily working from home. Most of my colleagues are working from home. And we man the emergency operations centers throughout the state. And our intelligence operations at the STAC, the State Threat Assessment Center, is focused on not only the threats they had to deal with every day, but now the threat from this virus. So we've made a shift, as we've done in the past when these disasters occur, but certainly nothing like this, the scope,
right,
the danger involved in this. And it's why you and I are sitting so far apart, and we're very careful. I don't mind admitting I'm in that category of vulnerable people that, because of my age. So
let's loop back to the basic mission of OES for a moment. Years ago, as you know, I was put through the earthquake preparedness course and the hazmat course. Tell us about some of those fundamental different departments that you have and that ongoing mission of training relative, for example, earthquake preparedness.
Yes. Well, we're involved, of course, here at CSTI and in other parts of the organization in training. That's our primarily emphasis is education and training. We certainly have branches that deal with law enforcement, deal with the response capabilities, logistics capabilities, those sorts of operations, victim services, etc. Here at CSTI, our primary mission, my primary mission, is education and training. When we're not actually responding to an emergency situation, is to prepare our state, local, and often federal partners in how to respond to these particular threats that are there, whether it be terrorism, as we've talked about, or fires, floods, etc., that we have best practices that we try and teach that we've learned from experience here and experience around the world, and education and training is our primary mission here at CSTI. Like I said, it involved the whole spectrum, not only the criminal justice section that I'm involved in, but also the hazardous material and emergency management sections. So we have courses like on earthquakes. In that course, we actually simulate an earthquake. I think you were in the course. We can shake up a room pretty easily and pretty loudly.
I remember you had the sound system from the movie Earthquake that you would then play in the auditorium, and people would drop acoustic tiles from the ceiling, and yeah, it was real.
Yes, you try, and most of us that are living in California have experienced earthquakes, but part of our training effort to make it as realistic as possible.
And it's so real. You have police cars, everything, the whole fake city here.
Yes, we have, and it's one of the advantages of being at Camp San Luis Obispo. We work very well with the National Guard here. We have a number of training sites here. We have a lot of our state partners here, and our local partners are here. And it allows for a integrated and cross-sectional training and cross-discipline training. Yes, we have a whole hazardous material site that I know you've seen with trains and every kind of hazardous material disaster. Tanker trucks.
Yeah.
And, of course, the training rooms and everything there to support the training out there. We have 10 firearms ranges here to train law enforcement officers, federal, state, local, and tribal officers.
This is cutting-edge firing range. Years ago, you guys took me out there, and I was forbidden from taking any photos of the firing maneuvers you guys were doing.
Yes, we're in a secure facility here at Camp San Luis Obispo. It allows us to train narcotics teams, for instance, that are working undercover and how to do things there. We also have a 10,000-square-foot warehouse that contains movable walls and configurations. And, of course, we do simulated firing with infrared equipment that we now own along with the military. and we're able to do a lot of realistic training in our officer safety programs, and we have the two primary classes, but also special seminars. The two primary classes of being the officer safety and field tactics course that has been here since the early 1970s, gone through a number of course changes and configurations.
Are you utilizing the virtual reality lab here?
Yes, we also have the virtual training simulation where a shoot don't shoot situations. Our whole purpose here is to provide an ethical framework when you can use force, but more importantly when not to use force and how to control your own emotions. And having been in law enforcement for most of my lifetime, we realize that it's a stressful job, but controlling that stress and acting as a professional is important, and that's one of the outcomes we hope to get through our training and education programs.
Anthony Lucan, thank you so much for sharing. This has been a fascinating morning.
Well, thank you, Tom, and you're welcome to attend our classes again, and we enjoyed having you on the last terrace. Of course, you added a lot to the course.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We've been visiting with Anthony Lucan with the California Specialized Training Institute, Governor's Office of Emergency Services at Camp San Luis Obispo, California. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.